Last year, we at Wait Wait celebrated the fact that we have been on the air for 20 years. And NPR celebrated the fact that even after all that time, we haven't completely destroyed their reputation.
The two sides of NPR, Dignified and us, came together when Robert Siegel and Nina Totenberg joined us on stage at the Chicago Theater to celebrate our anniversary and to apologize to them for ruining the brain.
So, welcome back. You've both been on our show before. Robert, you retired from after a long career at NPR.
I did. I retired in January, yes.
And how are you doing?
I'm doing whatever I want to do.
Yeah, I know.
And it's a lot of fun.
Well, how are you spending your time?
I listen to some radio. I do anniversaries, 20th anniversaries, 30th anniversaries, weddings, bar mitzvahs.
Birthday parties.
Birthday parties.
Whatever you need. Right. Nina, you're still at it, and are you still enjoying yourself after this many years of doing reports?
Most of the time, yes. When I got a great story, yes.
Yeah.
About the hour 18 that I'm on the air, and there have been a lot of those lately.
Yeah.
It gets a little old.
Yeah, well, I do know that one thing, you've been covering the Supreme Court for many years, but the party scene there is about to get lit.
It's been lit before.
I know. I do want to ask you, so 20 years ago, NPR started this show, and you guys were, I don't know, the backbone of NPR's serious reputation. What did you think of it?
I thought it was just great. I loved it, and I loved to be invited, and that we have all these great people here, and you.
I don't know if the listening public knows this, but everybody at NPR, most especially Nina and Robert, but not only them, actually have tremendous senses of humor, and kind of, I know this, you wish you could indulge it more on the air. So we wanted to ask you now to go back to some stories and see if there's anything you wish you had been able to say.
Do you realize how many people have a job to keep us from saying what we might say?
I understand that.
That's a profession.
I used to watch
including you.
You
once.
That's right. I was
including
in that.
You once.
I was in that line of work.
I was hosting All Things Considered, and somebody handed me live on the air what I was supposed to say, the intro to a Robert Krulwich piece, and their hands had moved on the typewriter. And so that it was gibberish.
Right.
That was the only thing wrong with the copy, as I recall.
Utter gibberish, otherwise it was fine.
And I looked at it, and I had not at that point done a lot of hosting, and I looked in the booth and I said, I can't read this. And pointed at the booth to play the piece.
Right.
He was then the news director or vice president for news or whatever bloody title they gave you in those days.
Yeah.
And he called me to his office.
Yes.
And he could barely conduct my reprimand because he was laughing so hard. And I said to him, well, what should I have done? And he said, you could have said, we're having technical difficulties.
That's right.
And I have ever since used that. If you hear me say, we're having technical difficulties, that means I don't know what the freaking hell is going on.
You two are so famous to many people, but a very specific group of people. And you're also not recognizable. Like, we have to close our eyes to be like, oh, there are those famous people, right? So what is the funniest or most memorable fan encounter you've had?
I remember there was a period when the typical Washington cab driver had a graduate degree from a university somewhere in East Africa or in the Horn of Africa, and they drove around all day, and they all listened to NPR nonstop. And I must have had, in the course of a couple of months, three different cab drivers with whom I had the following conversation, which was, you're Carl Castle? I would say, no, I'm on in the episode. Scott Simon? No, I'm Robert Siegel. Oh, Robert Siegel! He says, your coverage of Eritrea is not very good.
Well, Robert Siegel and Nina Totenberg, we are delighted to have you here, but you know the drill. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling
Robert Siegel, meet actual Siegel. Nina Totenberg, meet actual Totenbag.
You two have been subject to terrible puns about your names for your entire career, so why not make a game out of them? Answer Two out of three questions correctly, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of their choice on their voicemail. Bill, who are Nina and Robert playing for?
Gail Nicholson of Westland, Michigan.
All right. Seagulls seem like a nuisance, but some groups over the years have made use of them. How? A, fishermen in Nicaragua tied them to their boats like flying sled dogs. B, Inuit people used to stuff a dead seagull in a bottle of water and let it ferment, making seagull wine. Or C, Polynesians used to train them to race with each other, and they did it by making them chase a fake herring tied to a kite.
Herring?
Why, not only Polynesians, people across the street from my elementary school did this, so I'll go with that one.
We're really going for herring.
You're going. Yeah. Sadly, it really was seagull wine.
Oh. Yeah,
it's apparently, seagull wine was terrible, but
they
apparently it did the
let
job.
The seagulls race around a little bit.
I know. Okay, here's your next question. Other attempts to make use of seagulls have failed, though, such as which of these? A, during World War I, the British Navy tried to teach gulls to poop on submarine periscopes, blinding the crewmen inside. B, Amazon tried to train seagulls to deliver light packages to ships at sea. Or C, a buddy movie starring a seagull and Steven Seagal stopped shooting. When Steven Seagal sexually harassed the seagull and they quit.
Well,
the periscope. B?
A.
They think it's the poop.
In this show, always go for the poop or the fart.
Okay, all right. Okay.
We'll go
with the poop joke.
We'll go with the poop.
And of course, that's the right one.
Nice.
The idea was they would train these seagulls by coating a fake periscope with food, and the idea is the seagulls would then see one, swarm it, poop about it, and that would end the German threat.
It worked with my windshield.
Yeah. So your last question, if you get it, you win, is, of course, now about tote bags.
Good.
You still have to try to answer it.
I know.
Everybody loves tote bags, of course. Well, people did not like a certain tote bag that was put out by a Georgia company last year. Why? A, it was a, quote, security tote made of lead with a lock on it, so it weighed 43 pounds. B, it was the talking tote programmed to say amusing things when you put stuff in it, like arugula again? Or C, thanks to an error, it praised Hitler on the side.
It's the third one. It's the Hitler one.
It is, in fact, the Hitler one. The tote bag was supposed to say, my favorite color is glitter, spelled in glitter. But due to a really poor choice of a cursive font, the word glitter really looked like the word Hitler. So it seemed to say, my favorite color is Hitler, spelled in glitter. Bill, how did Robert and Nina do in our quiz?
They did brilliantly. Two out of three.
Robert Siegel and Nina Totenberger, NPR legends. Robert is now walking into people's homes and listening to them. Nina is polishing her Brett Kavanaugh impression. Robert and Nina, thank you so much for joining us for this special show. Robert Siegel, Nina Totenberger. When we come back, it's Music and Murder with Sarah Brightman and John Grisham. That's coming up in a minute from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR.